What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Inside Inter Miami, the Miami Herald show about all things Inter Miami. I'm your host, Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor, joined once again by our Inter Miami beat writer, Michelle Kaufman. And Michelle, good times have come back to this team. I mean, yep, you got celebrations. A couple weeks ago,
the baby celebration.
The baby celebration. Yes, we had the ball inside the jersey again.
Yep. The ball inside the belly for Boosie.
Inside the belly, yeah. I mean, they have had something good. They have produced something good after that, unceremonious dismissal from the Champions Cup by Monterrey. They've come back with a couple wins in MLS. Messi's looking like Messi, although a little bit of a battle, though. A mistake early on against Nashville put them behind early, but quickly they respond, and Lionel Messi continues his role. Good to see. Good to see for this team that Messi has being messy again, plain and simple.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at his numbers. He's second in the league right now in goals. He has 7 goals, but only in 6 games. The guy who's leading, Cristiano Ronaldo, has 8 goals. So he's got one more goal, but over 9 games. So Messi has scored 7 goals in 6 games, and he also has 6 assists over 6 games, which is tied for the league lead. Also, another little stat on Messi is that over all games, he has had a goal or an assist in 9 straight games. And his record for his whole career is 15 games. He had a 15-game streak in 2011, where he scored 17 goals and had 9 assists over 15 games in 2011 with Barca. Now he has 9 straight games, club and tournaments and club, 9 goals, 5 assists over 9 games. So he is, after missing a month, basically with a hamstring injury, to come back and do what he's doing is very, very impressive. And it's not only the stats, but as we've said, and we, I guess, will continue to say, when he's on the field, the team is different. When he's on, even though, yes, there was a mistake at the beginning, but that was kind of a defensive miscue by Franco Negri. He is just coming in for Jordi Alba and, missed moment there where he screwed up where he was supposed to be and, got an own goal. But other than that, the team looked very good. When Messi's on the field, the things he does, the energy and the spaces that he sees and the vision that he has, he's amazing. My brother, who's a huge soccer fan, he went to the game the other day and he hadn't seen Messi play too often in person because it's so expensive. So he actually took my husband's ticket for that game because my husband couldn't go the other day to Nashville. And I saw my brother before the game and he said to me, you know what? He goes, I just watched Messi warm up. He said, I could go home now. I could go home and be satisfied. Just watching Messi warm up, my brother said, was a treat for him, because just his touch on the ball, even during the warmups, my brother was saying like that alone to him was almost worse, even though the admission was high. My brother, Steve, said, you know what? Just watching him work out, watching him warm up is, to me, that's almost worth the price of admission already. I could almost go home satisfied. And then as it turned out, he got to see him score 2 goals and have an assist in the win over Nashville. So he is back to his messy ways. He elevates the play of everybody else. I mean, Busquets' goal, which was off a header, it was a corner kick, of course, from Messi, perfectly placed, perfectly paced and perfectly placed corner kick. And then Busi knocks in, glancing header, for the game winner. So, and then a PK from Messi was like, okay, let's just add a PK to the collection. So, yeah, I mean, as long as he's healthy and playing, this team looks like a very, very good team that is very hard to beat.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think I've talked to a few people, including our photographers. Shout out to one of our photo editor, David Santiago, tells me how it's always fun to see that. Like, he takes the field just for warmups, not even the field, when he's in the stands. Once people catch sight of him and the place goes bananas, it's such a phenomenon to see. But it's good that they're not just catching glimpses of him in the stands anymore. Not a little warm up and that's it. No, he's on the field contributing. And another battle with Nashville, even though we know Nashville's struggling, they always put up a fight. This game was 1-1 for a while until that second half when they were able to get those two goals. But this team right now, this team being Inter Miami, is dealing with some key injuries. One of them being Diego Gomez, the other being Jordi Alba. Diego Gomez, we'll start with him. Looks like a 6-week ankle injury might keep him out for a while.
Yeah, they say 6 weeks. Right. They say 6 weeks. It's a high ankle sprain. You know, 6 weeks is what they're saying, approximately 6 weeks. A lot of times, you know, the date they say is less than what it ends up being. Hopefully in his case, it won't be. He was in considerable pain. And it was kind of a freak injury because he just got stepped on. His foot got stepped on by the goalkeeper. It was, you know, inadvertent. I mean, he gets stepped on, but the way he stepped and the way he turned his ankle with that step on, you know, it was a big guy, 6'5" goalkeeper, steps on your foot and you're turning at that moment, you're falling down and you turn your ankle all the way.
The wrong way.
He could put no weight on it whatsoever. They had to carry him off on a stretcher. So it looked bad. I mean, at least it's not a broken ankle. It is a sprain, but it's a sprain that's going to take some time. And, you know, usually, as you know, and I know, even when we have a normal sprained ankle and we're normal human beings, we're not world-class athletes, but it takes, you know, it takes a while to even be able to put any, you know, weight on your foot at all. So he's going to be on crutches for a while. So that's going to be probably 6 weeks. Sad thing about him too is Diego Gomez was having an amazing year for this team so far. He had really stepped up, I thought, from last year. You know, last year he had moments and he was good, but this year he was playing very well and he had done extremely well with Paraguay with their under 23 team in the Olympic pre-tournament. He was the player of the tournament. He was the MVP of the pre-Olympic tournament. So he had high, high hopes to be playing in the Olympics for Paraguay, Olympics or Copa, but I think probably Olympics was going to be playing for Paraguay and then, you know, Copa maybe, I don't know, but one or the other. So he had a summer lined up for playing with his national team, which I know he was very, very much looking forward to. And now at this point, you know, Copa would be ruled out because that's within a, you know, the start of Copa's in June. They would start training in mid-June. That would be pretty tough for him to be able to play there. Maybe the Olympics, which is later in the summer. But, you know, it's a tough time for him because he really had become a key part of this team, you know, getting a lot of assists, scoring a couple of goals. He was really meshing with Messi and with Suarez, you know, playing very well with them. So that's a huge loss. And then Jordi, Tata said, you know, that Jordi's situation was going to be a couple of weeks, you know, that it was going to be 2 weeks, like a hamstring type area muscle injury where he would be out this last game, Nashville, this coming game against New England, and then they were going to evaluate game by game. But I heard from a very good source who's in the know that it's probably going to be closer to 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks with Alba as opposed to 2 weeks. So his target date for return would probably be middle of May. So he's probably going to miss a few more games, not just this week. I'm assuming that he's going to miss a couple of games after this week as well. So by the way, I wanted to go back for a moment about how well the team is doing with Messi and all this, you know, turnaround since the Monterrey mess. The team is in first place and has built a little bit of a cushion. They have 18 points. And, you know, I look back where they were last year. Last year they had 18 points after 22 games. After 22 games, they had 18 points. Right now, they have 18 points after 10 games, and they're in first place. Last year, after 22 games, they had the same number of points, and they were in last place. They were 15th place out of 15 in the East with 18 points in 22 games.
Those are prehistoric times at this point.
Exactly. You know, this is all pre-Messi. That's what I'm saying. The Messi. This BM. Is the before this BM. Yeah, BM, yeah. Bowel movement, not a good thing. But no. BM, before Messi. Yeah, that's something else. But before Messi was, you know, a little bit of a BM. No, I'm just kidding. No, before Messi, you know, BM, before Messi and after Messi is definitely two different eras of this team. But right now they are sitting in first place. And Tata reiterated again after this game that the importance of beating Nashville and the importance of this run that they've had the last few weeks in league is that they want to build, rack up as many points as they can before they start losing players for the summer and before more players get injured, which we now see, you know, they now have Diego Gomez injured. But they are going to get back this week. Robert Taylor will come back this week and Campana. Both of those are expected to be back this week to be able to play against New England. But the key that Tata keeps saying, and he's said it for the last few weeks, is our job now, he's really viewing this season in three parts. He's viewing this season as sort of before Copa America, then summer section, summer third. So one third before Copa, then is the summer, which is going to include lose players for Copa, have the League's Cup in there, you know, maybe Olympics, there may lose a few players for Olympics. And then the final third will be returning back to full league play in September, October to try to build up for the playoffs. So the way he sees it, they want, their strategy is get as many points as they can in this first third, then see what they can do, try to maintain, stay in the top group, you know, in the middle of the season there, and then have enough of a cushion that they're not down in a deep hole like they were last year when they start up in September again. Now, obviously, all of this is predicated also on injuries, which are unknown. I mean, if God forbid, if Messi gets injured, we see what happens to this team. Jordi Alba is now injured, like we said, maybe out for another, you know, another couple of weeks. Now you have Diego Gomez out. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on to wrap up the show, but another opportunity coming this Saturday against the New England Revolution, another struggling team that, in theory, you should be able to get another 3 points. And if you look further on the horizon, little rematch coming up with the Red Bulls after that, the week after. So two key games in their own right for different reasons. But yeah, like you said, 22 goals. Also, 22 goals leading the league in goals right now, as you said, a lot of firepower on display. But it doesn't show too much yet. But now the defense playing a little bit better. I mean, they gave one basically to Nashville. Other than that, you know, Drake Callender made some plays. Had a scary one I saw at the beginning. He grabs the ball, almost momentum almost took him back into his own goal there, but played a lot better, I think, on the defensive side overall as a team. So hopefully with getting Taylor and Campana back, they continue to do well on the offensive end and get these things going. But let's switch gears and talk a little bit about
They're also going to get a new player. They may get a new player.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if we had talked about Matias Rojas. Have we talked about?
No, we have not, actually. Before we get to your story, let's talk about that.
We're talking about how the team is going to get back. So they lose Jordi Alba for a couple of weeks here. They're going to lose Diego Gomez for 6 weeks. They are getting back Campana, like I said. They're getting back Robert Taylor. And expected to be announced, you know, at any moment, or maybe by the time this is shown, by the time you're watching this, it may already have been announced that Matias Rojas, who's a Paraguayan midfielder, I went back and looked. I actually wrote this story on March 5th. I said that it was imminent that they were signing him on March 5th. And we are now at the end of April, and this still had not been finalized. It was very complicated because this player, he's a very good player, has experience, 28 years old, Matias Rojas, Paraguayan national player, very good. He was playing with Corinthians in Brazil, but there was a conflict, a contract dispute. They were not paying him, apparently, especially for the image rights. He was supposed to have some money coming to him for image rights. The money was not there. They got into contract dispute. He said he wanted to leave. They eventually agreed to let him go to free him up. So he was going to sign with Inter Miami. And then there were complications because FIFA has to approve that he is no longer with Corinthians, that he is officially a free agent. The only way that Inter Miami would have been able to sign him right now is if he's a free agent. And there's been a lot of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But apparently he was at the stadium I didn't see him, but some other reporters saw him sitting in the stands at the stadium the other day against Nashville. And when we asked Tata about him, he got a smirk on his face and he said, "Oh, I didn't see him. Did you see him?" And the other guy said, "Yes, I saw him." And he said, "Well, I can't talk about a player that's not officially our player yet. Let's talk again next week, and then maybe I can talk about him." So clearly this is a deal that is finalizing or has been finalized. Matias Rojas, this is going to be another, he's an attacking midfielder type player who plays, you know, he is not Messi, of course, but is an attacking midfielder who can help in the attack. And that will be another reinforcement that they will have when some of these guys are gone for Copa or for other things. They will be able to have him in place. So that's going to be another reinforcement that they're going to get, you know, probably this week. I don't know if he'll be playing, but who knows? Usually with this team, someone signs and 2 days later, they throw him onto the starting lineup. So yeah, we may be seeing Matias Rojas make his debut on Saturday against New England.
Yeah, even if it's just some minutes in the game, you might just kind of get them in there and get them going. That probably will. But yeah, now let's go do what we were saying, like a little fun off the field. And you had a nice story this week, Michelle, about the drink of champions, apparently. I've been seeing this ingredient in a very popular soda for years down in South Florida. Whenever somebody drinks a materva, you see on the can it says yerba mate soda. Apparently, yerba mate goes way back with the Argentine players and is the drink of champions, and you were there to talk to them about it. Tell us a little bit about what fuels Inter Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really fun story. I wanted to do something a little bit offbeat. And, you know, I'm always looking for things away from the field that are just kind of interesting or unique to whatever team or sport I'm covering. And one thing that I noticed right away, especially when Messi joined the team and all the other Argentine players joined, and then when Suarez joined the team, is that most athletes, when you see them getting off the team bus, they're carrying, you know, maybe carrying Gatorade or carrying water, Powerade, whatever. No, these guys, you watch the Inter Miami team get off the bus, filing off the bus, and one by one, they're carrying the little brown gourd. It's a hollowed out gourd, brown, and inside, and then there's a silver straw sticking out, and inside it is yerba mate. And yerba mate is it's an herbal, very strong caffeinated herbal tea that has been drank for centuries. It's been a beverage for centuries in South America, particularly Argentina and Uruguay. And then Paraguay also has a similar type of drink that's very, very similar. And then it also in the Middle East a little bit, in Syria and in Lebanon. It also is a beverage over there. But in South America, it is very well known and for centuries. And so the Argentine and Paraguayan and Uruguayan players, they drink that. And the thing is, what I learned about it, I learned a lot about it. I did a lot of research on yerba mate, and I got to speak to some players, and I spoke to some coaches, Argentine coaches from the team. And the thing is, it has nutritional value. Okay, so it's an antioxidant. It helps with, you know, recovery time when you do intense exercise, helps with recovery time and all of those things. It has different vitamins and nutrients, and it's an antioxidant. It's good for your digestion. It helps your digestion. It's also highly caffeinated. So guys drink it like you would drink coffee. They drink it to awaken themselves, to become very, very alert. So they drink it oftentimes in the morning. And then they also drink it after training and then before games. But what they all told me is that more than anything, really, they drink it for social reasons, and that it is a way for them to bond with their teammates or with family members or with friends. This is the culture. The culture is that someone prepares a mate. One person prepares the mate, and you carry around, you have the cup. And then you have a thermos, a silver thermos, and inside the thermos is hot water, not boiling water, hot water. It's supposed to be 75 to 80 degrees, not boiling, but hot. They pull it in the thermos, and then they have their yerba mate leaves come in a little pouch or a little container, and then you have the cup. Then you have the straw. The straw is a filter at the end. There's a filter at the end of the straw. So what you do is one person prepares the mate, and then everybody, they compartir, they share. and they drink from the same straw. They drink from the same cup. And that is something that they were telling me, that people from other countries are a little bit taken aback, because that's a little unusual, you know, especially I think during COVID time, they were not using the same straw as much. But, you know, it is the custom is that one person prepares a mate and then you pass it around. You pass it around the circle and everyone takes a sip and everyone drinks from your mate. And some people like it stronger. Some people like it weaker. Some people like it in the middle. There's different brands that players like. Although I found that the one they like the most is Canarias, which is a Uruguayan brand, which the I spoke to Sebastian Saha, who is the goalkeeper coach for Inter Miami, and he's from Argentina. He said, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but my favorite brand is Canarias. And I have to say a lot of the players also like Canarias, even if they're from Argentina. So anyway, he apologized for that answer. But it's a drink that is deeply, deeply embedded and rooted in the Argentine and Uruguayan culture. And so among soccer players, I mean, Messi drinks it all the time. Suarez, Luis Suarez drinks it all the time. All the other Argentine players and the coaching staff. Remember that Tata's from Argentina. Almost his entire coaching staff is also from Argentina. So they, when training is over, they all get together inside in the cafeteria area and different parts of the locker room in the training room. And someone will prepare a mate, or two people will prepare a mate. And then they pass it around and they pass it around. And what they were telling me is that it's a way to welcome new players. So when a new player comes to the team and doesn't know anybody, you offer them to have some mate. It's a way for players to just decompress, you know, after a training session and just talk about stuff. And they all sit around. It's like having a coffee break. They have a mate break. It's just like a coffee break. Or in England, people drink tea. In Uruguay and in Uruguay and in Argentina, they drink yerba mate, and it's a huge part. And so the team travels. By the way, I spoke to the team nutritionist, and she told me that the team travels with yerba mate. Even though a lot of guys bring their own, the team also brings a supply of yerba mate on all their road trips. And when they went to Asia and to the Middle East for their preseason tour, they carried around 25 pounds of yerba mate. The Argentine national team carried hundreds of pounds of yerba mate to the World Cup in Qatar. And so did the Uruguayan national team, also carried hundreds of pounds of yerba mate to the World Cup. So this is a drink that it seems to be working, because a lot of the best players in the world are from these countries. So I don't know, maybe the U.S. national team needs to start drinking yerba mate. I asked them if some of the guys from other nationalities are starting to drink it. They said that Franco Negri told me, he's from Argentina. He said that Leo Campana, who's from Ecuador and was more of a coffee person, he has started drinking yerba mate. And Julian Gressel, the word is that Julian Gressel, who's German-American, has started sipping the yerba mate. And they said that it's a way for the non-Argentine and non-South American players to try to adapt to the South American culture. So they're starting to, even though it's very bitter and it's not what they're used to, they're starting to try it, to try to blend in with the group.
Well, I've got,
so it's really got a interesting question. Story. It was really fun. Yeah.
I've got a question then. Has Michelle Kaufman tried the yerba mate yet?
I have not. And I think maybe for one of these shows, we should prepare a yerba mate and do the show while we're drinking yerba mate. And who knows?
But authentically, too, with the thing.
Authentic.
With the straw and the mate, right. The whole thing.
And the mate, the whole thing. The straw is a filter. So what happens is, you know, if you look at what it looks like a lot of grass and twigs inside a cup. And then you pour the grass and twigs and powder into the cup. And then you hold it at a 45 degree angle and you pour in the hot water with it at a 45 degree angle. You make a little montaña. That's one of the things I learned about. They make a little montaña of the stuff and then they pour the water in. And then you put the straw is a filter. So when you're sipping from the straw, you are only sipping the liquid. You are not sipping you're not sipping the leaves, and you're not sipping the twigs, and you're not sipping the powder. There's the end of the straw is a filter. It's like a little flattish, roundish bulb thing that is a filter. So when
I think
you're drinking,
I gotta find the YouTube tutorial on this, like, which I'm sure exists.
yes.
I'm sure there are many of
Oh
them.
yeah, there are, because I looked them up.
There you
And
go.
I think maybe if we buy the ingredients, maybe we could do a show where we do the show on yerba mate. And I don't know if it really is a stimulant. And I don't drink coffee, because my husband always says he would be afraid to see me on coffee, because I'm
Uh-oh.
just so wired and crazy as it is. So my husband always says to me, thank God, even though I am Cuban, I'm Cuban American, but I don't drink coffee. My mom always
Right.
drinks café con leche every morning. My dad
Or the
always drank coffee.
cafecitos.
My brother, a little cafecito. I have never had coffee in my life. I'm a little afraid to know what I would look like on coffee. But yerba mate has the same exact amount of caffeine as coffee. So I don't know. If I drank yerba mate, I'm not sure what I would be doing on the show, but it
Well,
might be fun to try it out. It might be
the
fun.
screen will not contain you at that point, I'm sure.
I would
Yeah.
be like pistolero, I'd be all over the
You're like,
place on the
yeah.
yerba
Yeah.
mate.
If you
So
think you've seen this, wait till you see it on Yerba Mate.
yeah, my mom was actually joking, because my mom watches all the games and she read my story about yerba mate. And my mom was joking that maybe they're drinking too much yerba mate because they're getting a lot of yellow cards. She's like, I think that maybe they're a
Maybe.
little bit too fired up. Maybe they're a
Yeah.
little too fired up for these games, and they're getting the yellow cards because they're drinking too much yerba mate. So
Yeah.
anyway, it was a really fun story. I hope you guys will all read it if you haven't seen it yet. It was a fun sort of offbeat, but very, very particular to this team. You know, I've covered so many sports in 37 years of sports writing. I have never, in all the years, I've never covered a team where so many people are drinking one particular beverage. And I found it really interesting. I just started noting it when they were getting off the bus. I'm like, oh, that guy has a yerba mate. That one has a yerba mate. That one has a yerba mate. And
You're
then,
like, do,
you know, you
do,
see them
do.
talking about, yeah, you see them talk about it and whatever. So that was a really fun story to do, something offbeat, and be looking forward to more. My goal is to do some more sort of behind the scenes offbeat stories on this team as the season goes on.
Yeah. And check them all out at MiamiHerald.com for sure. And one of those other ones that people can expect, I wanted to stick with the off the field stuff, and that's this Messi experience exhibit that's about to hit South Florida this weekend coming up. Michelle, tell us a little bit about it. It looks pretty cool. I mean, I saw on the website, saw some of the things they're planning, some of the look about Messi's career and his life. Interesting stuff. But where can people go to see it, and how much does it cost, really? Because that's a question everybody always has.
Right. Well, it's $29. I think it's 29 for kids and 35, or I think it's 29 and 35 are the main prices. So it is the Messi experience. It's an immersive exhibit. So I don't know if anyone out there has seen, they've been doing it with artists. Like, they've had a Van Gogh immersive exhibit. There was a Monet. There was one with Frida. So there have been some
Right.
immersive exhibits of artists where you go and you're like inside the painting, and you know, they're telling you about the artist's life, and you're sort of walking through and you're like inside the painting, watching them, these pieces. That local two local guys who were involved with those artists once decided, they're from Argentina, living in Miami, and just one of them actually is a former University of Miami tennis player, David Rosenfeld. Anyway, they decided it would be kind of cool to do a Messi experience. And by the way, this was before Messi joined Inter Miami. This was 2 years ago, the planning for this started. And the idea was that you would go through an exhibit that would take you through Lionel Messi's life, from his beginnings in Argentina as a little boy, then going to Barcelona, and then going to the World Cup with Argentina. And he ends up winning the World Cup. And this is before they knew that he's going to be coming then to Inter Miami. So as it turns out, there were plans even before he came to Miami to do this exhibit. And it's called the Messi Experience. And you walk through, and it's going to have different things. Like, there's from what I talked to the one of the creators of it, there's an AI part where you, and especially kids would like this, but even adults too, you're like in a training session, and it looks like Lionel Messi is with you in the
Wow.
training session. And as you are
That's
kicking the
awesome.
ball or doing whatever you're doing, the drills, he is guiding you and he's telling you like, oh, that was really good, or oh, you need to do this, or you need
Yeah,
to do that.
that's
And
awesome.
it looks like he's talking to you, and it looks like you're actually having a conversation with Messi, something like that. And then, you kind of go through, you go through and see his childhood, you go through and see different stages of his career. And it's supposed to be really, really cool. I'm going to get a sneak peek on Wednesday night. They're having a sneak peek that I got invited to, so I'm really looking forward to seeing. And where it is it's in Coconut Grove, in Miami. In Coconut Grove, it's a limited time. It's going to be here. Right now, it's due to be here through June, which will be through when Argentina plays Copa America here at Hard Rock Stadium. It's supposed to be here through the end of June, and it's Coconut Grove. It's in Regatta Park, so it's over where Regatta and Bay Shore Club, those restaurants that are right on the marina in Coconut Grove, by City Hall, by Miami City Hall in Coconut Grove. That is where they've set it up. It's called the Hangar at Regatta. So it's a big hangar that's been set up as a messy exhibit, but it's going to be a traveling tour. So it's going to go to many, many cities around the world. I believe from here it's going to go to LA maybe, and I think it's going to go to Buenos Aires, and it's going to go to Europe. So it's going to travel around the world. It is being kicked off here in Miami, and it'll be here, like I said, I think for 2 months from now through the end of June, people can go see it. I think the prices are 29 and 39, or 29 and 36, or something in that range. So it's affordable, and it's just sort of an immersive exhibit to learn about Messi's life, and apparently to sort of almost feel like you're having a conversation with him. So
Yeah.
that's pretty cool. I think it's going to be a really cool thing. I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds interesting.
My wife and I did the Van Gogh immersive experience when it was in downtown Miami a couple of years back, I think it was. And I remember it was unbelievable. Like the room itself, all the paintings and everything. And then you also had like the VR glasses that you could put on, and you felt like you were touring where Van Gogh grew up and all of that stuff. So if this is anywhere near like that, I mean, you just mentioned the interactive part
It's the
takes it
same
up a
group.
notch.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes,
that's
it
going to be
has
amazing.
interactive, and it's going to be very similar. Some of the same people that worked on the Van Gogh and the Monet and the Frida, some of those same people are the ones doing this messy experience, and it was just their idea to branch it out from art and do the artist of soccer, which he
Yeah,
is
of course.
the Michelangelo, he's the Van Gogh, this is Messi, he's the one of the top artists ever on a soccer field. So it should be really interesting. I'm really eager to go see it. I think it's going to be a pretty cool exhibit.
When you said that right now, I don't know, it made me think of Ray Hudson, our good friend Ray Hudson, talking about the masterpiece, the stroke
Oh yeah.
of yeah. We got to get him back on the show at
The
some point
stroke.
soon.
Oh yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Especially now
Some
that
point.
Messi's in full Messi mode. We got to get Ray back for sure.
That, absolutely. All right. Well, let's wrap this up and talk a little bit about what's next for Inter Miami, and that's going to be this game at New England against the Revolution. We know the Revolution aren't what they used to be. They are struggling. They're dead last right now, only 4 points on the docket so far that they've been able to accumulate one victory only this season. But you can expect a big crowd where the New England Patriots usually pack the place. This time it's going to be people wanting to see Lionel Messi and company. Apparently 64,000 is the expected crowd so far, maybe more, who knows? But it should be hopping up in Foxborough this weekend to see Inter Miami take on the Revolution. What do you think of this matchup, Michelle?
Yeah, the crowd is going to be huge. They have opened up Gillette Stadium to full capacity. And so, yes, I believe 63 or 64,000 seats have already been sold by midweek. People are expecting to see Messi since he has been playing. There is one little caveat here, which we are going to throw into the mix, which is that it is on artificial turf. And supposedly, Luis Suarez does not like to play on artificial turf. He has very bad knees, as we know. He's 37 years old. He's had trouble with his knees. And when he was playing in Brazil last season, he did not want to play, or did not play in some of the games that were on artificial turf. So that is going to be one question mark. We will not get a chance to ask Tata these questions until Friday, which is the only time we'll get to talk to him this week, which is the day before the game. But the one question will be, is the turf going to be an issue with Suarez and with Messi. Messi has been playing great. Messi, there is no reason to rest him. Tata has said, as long as the games are every 7 days right now, and there were no midweek games, that there was no special plan to rest him, that he is expected to play all these games and all that. And Tata has said that. Messi, when this came up last year, did say that he did not have a problem with the artificial turf, even though it was reported that he did. He said that he didn't, and that he would be willing to play on turf if it was, you know, a good turf. And by the way, we saw the field they played on. It can't, whatever it is, artificial or real, it can't be worse than what they played on in Mexico in Monterrey, which was real turf, but it looked like they had just laid it down 3 hours before the game because pieces of turf were flying around all over the field. So I can't imagine a field that's in worse shape than that. But artificial turf doesn't really have any give. It's almost like playing on, you know, it's almost like playing on concrete. So there is going to be the question that I will definitely ask. My first question probably on Friday when I get a chance to speak with Tata is going to be, is there any concern? Are there any players who may not play or who would play limited minutes because of the surface at Gillette Stadium, which would be a huge disappointment for the 60 plus thousand people who have bought tickets there, because the whole idea is they're opening up the stadium for everybody to see Messi, you know, and Suarez and Busquets. But if is there any concern with the fact that it's on artificial turf? Because that is something that players who played the majority of their careers in Europe and in other parts of the world do not play on artificial turf. They don't like it. It's more dangerous. And especially with Copa America coming up, and Messi definitely wants to be ready for that. That is going to be a question that needs to be asked for that game. Now, if they all play and everyone plays, they should be able to beat New England. Like you said, New England, to be honest, you know, there was a Bruce Arena got fired last season for something that happened off the field. The team really kind of fell apart and has never been the same since. And they are now, like you said, in last place. This is a team that was one of the best teams in the league a few years ago and is now dead last. So Miami, with its full squad, would be a heavy, heavy favorite. I don't know if some guys would play limited minutes because of the surface. They will have Campana back. They will have Robert Taylor back. They're going to have Matias Rojas, I think. We don't know if he'd be ready to play or not, but I'm assuming that he would maybe be ready to play or at least on the bench. So that's going to be interesting. The only question marks there is not really can they beat New England, because I think they can. It's going to be will they play with the full squad that we just saw against Nashville? Is this going to be the same lineup, or will there be some rotation due to the surface? That is something we had not spoken to Tata about, because we asked Tata about rotation in general. And he said, no, that there was no reason for rotation because they're playing every 7 days. But now I'm seeing some little murmurs and whispers about, oh, but this is on turf and they may not want to play, blah, blah, blah. So that's going to be a question.
Yeah, it's a legit concern because of the injury potential there. You don't want something to happen to them, especially, like you said, this big, very important period coming up where they're going to go play national ball before coming back. Obviously, you don't want to have any short-term injury, but you definitely don't want to have any long-term injury because of something that happens there. But it'll be interesting to see. I think they'll balance this somehow. I'd be surprised if this goes all out with these guys. Maybe there's a little bit of pulling back a bit judiciously, you know, where you want to get those 3 points, but at the same time you want to be safe, want to be careful with some of them. But we'll see what happens. This team is on top right now, and we'll find out soon enough if they could stay on top. They have a, like we said before, this game, very winnable, seemingly a winnable game up in Foxborough, and then a big showdown the week after that Michelle and I will be back next week to break down for you as they get the rematch with those Red Bulls that embarrassed them the last time they played them up in the New Jersey area. This time, they get them at home. So maybe a little payback, Lewis Morgan and those guys, maybe they get a little revenge. We'll see. But thank you once again, everybody,
joining us. And Messi would be there. Inter Miami with Messi at home against the Red Bulls, and with the weather not being what it was over there, it would be a very different game.
That's right. That was the horrible monsoon game. That was
the monsoon without Messi, and it was 40 degrees and it was raining and it was a complete disaster.
Miserable.
Yes.
Miserable, no Messi. This time kick out the miserable, insert Messi, and maybe things will go a little better for them. But we'll be back next week to recap all of that. We thank everybody once again, as usual, for watching this show. Remember, you can catch it at MiamiHerald.com or on YouTube. And if you're listening to it, any podcast catcher you like, Spotify, iTunes, we're available on all of those. But for Michelle Kaufman.
And also, by the way, if any of you are yerba mate, if any of you that are watching or listening are yerba mate experts, please, feel free to send us your tips, because we may be trying it at some point. So send us your tips on what brand you like. Are there any little tips about how to do it, how to pour it, how to do so? Anyway, this could be the yerba mate edition.
We'll have our producer, Pierre Taylor, shout out to Pierre to put a little disclaimer on the mic, like, effects of Michelle Kaufman on yerba mate, not endorsed by the Miami Herald. So, yes. There you go. We'll see what happens. And until then, thank you everybody for watching. Take care. Hope you enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back next week.